This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. Scott also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities in golf for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. A happy Thanksgiving week to everyone as we start to wind down the golf season. Gary, not liking the looks of the Southern Wisconsin forecast Tuesday afternoon into Tuesday evening, but you're telling me that there might be hope on the horizon for golf on Thanksgiving. Let's go to the weather forecast, the weather center here on Talking.Golf, and bring in Gary D'Amato.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much expertise in meteorology. I just repeat what I hear on TV, Rob. And what I hear is looking pretty good, actually. I mean, we're supposed to get some slush in southeastern Wisconsin tomorrow, some snow maybe mixed with rain. And I think, you know, out toward Madison, they're going to get a couple of inches, and north of that, maybe 3 to 5 I'm seeing. So I don't know. Golf might be on the back burner now up north for just about everybody. But down here in the southeastern corner of the state, Rob, it's supposed to get up to 50 on Thanksgiving Day and high 40s and sunny on Friday. So I probably won't go out Thanksgiving Day, but I'm going to try to sneak in around on Friday still.
I get a chuckle out here in California. We get a lot of the emails about 8 a.m. shotgun starts. That way, you know, everybody that wants to play on Thanksgiving can play at once, still get home in time for their Thanksgiving dinner. I know there's a bunch of tournaments out there occasionally. I don't think golf has quite reached the level of competitive running with all these turkey trots, but I think we're seeing. I think it's great that Wisconsin's even able to think about playing here in the month of November, let alone all the way to Thanksgiving week. That's a pretty good feather in what's already been a great cap on a great year golf wise in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, just speaking personally, Rob, I've gotten over the past 40 years, very few November rounds of golf, and probably average less than one a year. Some years, you know, it snows in late October, early November, and you can't play golf. But this year I've played 5 times in November, and I played in shorts once in November, which I've never done before. It was 70 degrees a couple of weeks ago. And I go to Ives Grove, a few miles away in Sturtevant, and the parking lot is packed. I'm sure, you know, following up on the great numbers of rounds played on state courses and nationally, you know, in July, August, September, and October, it looks like November could be a record month too now.
Well, I think that's great. I think what you're telling me, Gary, then, is that Milwaukee's becoming the San Diego of the Midwest. Is that what we're saying here?
I wouldn't quite go that far. But we can compete with your weather for maybe 2 months a year, maybe June and September.
Well, I just like the fact that we're talking golf and not just about the golf that is played elsewhere at this time of the year. And one of the topics we wanted to tackle today, Gary, that we've been writing a lot about over the last week is starting with your story on the great recruiting class of Coach Steve Bailey and the Marquette Golden Eagles, and then segueing into the start of our annual ranking series for the junior golf rankings for each class in the state of Wisconsin. But college golf, to put it in a nutshell, has been front and center in our content on Wisconsin.Golf. But starting with that Marquette recruiting class, you had a chance to talk to Steve Bailey, and you know, again, he is not shied away from, you know, going to great lengths to find the right fit for Marquette and its golf program. And this year, Arizona and Georgia represented in the 2-person recruiting class. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who's coming to Marquette and what Coach Bailey thinks of the guys that he landed?
Yeah, Rob, Coach Bailey landed a couple of top 60 players in the nation, you know, by the rankings, by Golf Week Sagarin. And number 14 is a guy named Max Lyons from Peoria, Arizona. it looks like by his resume, he's just had a tremendous couple of years here. He's won a bunch of tournaments. The tournaments he's won, he's averaged a shade under 66 strokes per round, which is, I mean, when you're shooting 65s and 66s, I don't care where you're playing or what you're playing in, that's outstanding, obviously. And not only that, but he's number one in his class at a very big high school, a 600.
Wow.
Graduating class of 680. So he's a very smart kid too. And then the other guy he signed, P.A. Kilburn of Monroe, Georgia, 6'6", tall kid, maybe one of the tallest players in program history. Steve says he hits the ball a long way. And both these guys have competed, you know, in regions that are golf rich with talent, you know, Peoria, Arizona, obviously the state of Arizona, so many good players come out of there, and Georgia. So many good players come out of Georgia. So Steve's really high on both of these young men. And the other bit of news, Rob, is that Hunter Eichhorn supposedly is considering coming back for another year. You know, he's a senior now. Wow. He's got nine credits left. And he's considering at least coming back for that extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA. So we'll see where that goes.
A free year for everybody now at this point, at least through the winter season. And we've already got kids with a semester of spring eligibility remaining. So it is going to be the wild, wild west and we'll talk more about that as we get into my junior rankings. But one more thing on Max Lyons. One of the resources, Gary, that I use to just kind of, you know, gauge where other people look at least the recruits in our state is the Junior Golf Scoreboard. What they do is they take all the junior events in state and then nationally, and then come up with a scoring differential, a strength of tournament metric, and then also wins, top fives, and top tens. In the state of Arizona, in the class of 2021, Max Lyons comes in number two behind Preston Summerhays, and you remember that, you recognize that name, a big golfing name in the southwest part of the United States. And Preston going to he's number five overall in the nation. And Max Lyons number 41, but Max Lyons number two right behind him, and then ahead of a kid who's going to Southern Cal, ahead of a kid going to Arizona, and ahead of a kid going to Utah. So that's some pretty good stuff. And you talk about his resume, has played a lot, Gary. And right now it's great, because what's fun when I do my rankings is I get to look at results and see, you know, trends. And the trend for Max Lyons, he's gone from, you know, 72s to 74 on average in the front half of 2020. And then, of course, you know, a bit of a gap like most juniors had between March and June because of the pandemic. And then he comes back and shoots 70, 63 at the Thunderbird Classic. He's got a 64, a 61, 66 at the Chandler City Junior on a tour down in Arizona. And then just more recently in September, shot 72, 68 to win the AJGA, I'm sorry, to finish fifth in the Ping AJGA Heather Farr Classic. That's some pretty good stuff. And I mean, you talk about some of these kids that have made an impact, and you said, you know, coming into Marquette, probably one of the more decorated recruits. And, you know, you're looking at a lot of guys that have done quite well coming in to Marquette, let alone going out under Steve's tutelage. And that's some pretty high praise for Max Lyons.
It really is. And the really interesting thing is how a guy who grew up and played golf in Arizona would want to come to Milwaukee. Not disparaging Milwaukee. I live here. It's a great city. I've been following the Marquette program since I can remember. But it's, you know, to recruit a kid like that says something about what Steve Bailey has done with his program, what Marquette's doing to attract these kids. Because obviously this kid could have gone to a lot of different schools and a lot of warm weather places and big programs, I'm sure.
Well, and what I like about Steve's recruiting philosophies is he doesn't rule out the late bloomer from Wisconsin. He managed to see talent in Tyler Leach out of, you know, tiny Spring Valley. He found Hunter Eichhorn up in the UP. I think, you know, if he hadn't grabbed him, I think somebody else would have. You know, he's done quite well with that balance. That's what I like about Steve Bailey, is that even though, you know, in this recruiting class, nobody from Wisconsin, but he's done quite well in making sure that wall gets built around the best talent he can get to come to Marquette.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other we talk about Max Lyons quite a bit, but the other player, P.A. Kilburn, 6'6", plays on the basketball team, so he's an athlete. And I think Steve probably saw some, you know, saw an athlete as a golfer or a golfer as an athlete. And we all know what's the trend is going toward more and more athletic people playing golf. And I think it's great that he's a crossover athlete and plays another sport.
And what's great about that, Gary, and one of the things that we look at in the junior rankings in Wisconsin is that there are a number of kids who are golf, soccer, golf, basketball, golf, hockey, especially on the women's side, is a very common combination that we see. And a lot of the coaches tell me that they may see something in a golfer that's a multi-sport kid that others don't see, because they see a potential for great growth once they focus on golf. And that's what will happen when P.A. Kilburn gets to campus. P.A. Kilburn in the state of Georgia, Gary, ranked number 8. He's 388 in the class of 2021 overall nationwide. And, a lot of Hurricane Tour events on his schedule, and a lot of stuff down in the southern part of the country where they can play, you know, pretty much year round, rounds as low as 60. And, a couple of high ones in there. But again, you know, he's going to once he hunkers down on golf, we should see some pretty good stuff out of P.A. Kilburn. When you talk to Steve, are you seeing some trends in the kids he's recruiting? You mentioned height. As I've done my rankings, we'll have another set. The boys 2023 class will come out on Wednesday. And Gary, one of the things that I found very interesting was the top two guys in the class. I won't say who they are quite yet. You can check it out on Wednesday, but are both seeing sports psychologists, the same sports psychologists, in fact, in Madison, and kids that are now sophomores in high school are thinking a lot as much about the mental side of the game as they are the physical. I found that fascinating.
Yeah, I know there's some instructors in the Milwaukee area now that are pairing with performance coaches or, mental coaches. And I, obviously that's becoming that has become a very important part, especially on the pro tours. Almost everybody has seen a sports psychologist at one point or another who plays professional golf. And now it's seeping down into the college ranks. And I'm sure, you know, down into the junior and high school ranks. We all know how important that part of the game is to keep your head in the game, to not give up, to focus. And you can actually train your mind to perform those tasks better.
One of the things too, Gary, that we've seen, especially recruiting in other sports, college basketball, probably foremost, simply because you have a large cross section of kids that have grown up playing the game. And to me, it seems that of all the sports that I've covered at the collegiate level, it seems to be the one that's the most cutthroat in recruiting. Therefore, I think I find that a lot of coaches take the character into account perhaps more than any other sport. It's not to say golf doesn't. I still maintain that character is a huge part of building a golf team, because you need that chemistry. You need that chemistry. If you're not playing on a given week, you're not that top five, you don't want to have bad apples, sour attitudes in terms of, you know, kids back there pouting while your top five is going off to a tournament. What do you see as maybe if you were a college golf coach, Gary, that you would kind of prioritize in what you'd look for in a prospective recruit?
Yeah, well, you know, set aside talent for a second. I think some of those intangibles that you're talking about are so important. Mental toughness. I think if I was recruiting a young man or young lady, I would want to see how they react after they make a triple bogey, or a very talented player who shoots a 41 on the front nine. Does he bounce back and shoot 36 on the back, or does it go the other way because he's lost his focus and his concentration, or he's got anger issues? I would look for someone who can remain composed and maybe has a maturity beyond his or her years. Of course, the talent is the, strength, power, and that sort of thing is very, very important now. But I think some of those intangibles are what coaches are looking for.
And Gary and I will talk more about the junior rankings as next week as we unveil the rest of the class of 2023 for boys. And I believe we'll have both 2022 boys and girls by the time we talk next Monday. But the group that we have right now, Gary, the freshman boys, the freshman girls, clearly, and this is someone you started writing about back at age 9 when she qualified for the Drive, Chip, and Putt Nationals, and that's Jessica Geiser. Jessica Geiser, to me, Gary, is so reminiscent of Pearson Hunt in terms of the way she approaches the game, the way she appreciates the game. This is someone who is looking at juggling trips to not only the IMG Academy in Florida, but still playing high school golf in Wisconsin, something we don't see very much. But she's also going to what used to be the Bishopsgate Academy across from Mission Inn Resort in Howie in the Hills, Florida. And so she's, you know, taking the resources available to her, but still sees merit in coming back, having fun playing with her friends back in Wisconsin. I find that to be the perfect blend. And that's something that Pearson Hunt did for quite some time and now has, you know, created a tournament at Whistling Straits and to show for it and a fundraising tournament for the AJGA and the WPGA. There's a lot of give back from these kids these days in junior golf.
Yeah, if I remember right, Rob, from reading your story, Jessica said one of the things she loves most about high school golf is the team aspect, is having teammates and getting along and playing with other girls. And you're right. I think that's a very, very healthy outlook. I think in golf, a lot of people can become too self-absorbed and self-centered. And it's good to have that outward look and look and care about teammates. You know, you only have high school golf for 4 years, and it's much more enjoyable when you have great chemistry with another, with a bunch of, you know, peers that that see everything the way you do.
A couple other trends that we saw in that girls 2024 class, we had Trevor Dodd out of Brookfield, who would have been on that state championship team for Brookfield Central had she stayed in Wisconsin. She wasn't sure whether the instruction at Brookfield Central would be in person or virtual, and she felt she needed in person. So she did the homework according to her mom, researched IMG Academy and enrolled there in Florida. And so she wasn't part of the mix this fall, but is still going to be part of the mix throughout the summers. And her family and her younger sister still back in Brookfield. So that's interesting. And then, you know, we had Sky Skenador out of who would have been a freshman at West De Pere. I talked to her dad a lot this summer. I was going to do a big story before the pandemic kind of delayed the season on the class of 2024 ahead of the high school season. And I was going to talk to her, and her dad said, well, you know, kind of hemmed and he hawed. He said, we're kind of moving to South Carolina. I go, South Carolina? He goes, yeah, we want her to play year round. So she isn't actually in a school. She's been attending school online, didn't play high school golf, but did win an event on the Hurricane Tour. So we're seeing the upward mobility of kids come into play here, Gary, something that really wasn't a part of our culture growing up. I mean, you were St. Francis. I was Wisconsin Rapids. I don't know what you thought of Cudahy. I can tell you what I thought we thought of Stevens Point. And that whole culture has totally changed these days.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss, Rob, if I didn't point out what a great job you do with the rankings. I know it's a very, very popular thing that we do on Wisconsin.golf, and it's got a big readership, and those pieces are very well received by juniors and coaches and people who follow high school golf and junior golf in particular. And I'm wondering what kind of feedback you get on that, Rob. I would imagine there's the occasional young man or woman who's not happy with where they're ranked, but overall, I think most people see it as being a very fair ranking. I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, because we did these right away when we launched the site back in 2016 and 15, and at that time, you know, everyone expected there to be, you know, a formula chart to go with it. And you know, the WPGA Junior Tour has a points system, you know, where you can earn points based on results. And a lot of that is based on the quality of the tournaments you play and how well you do in those. But then you can play, you know, so Gary D'Amato could play in the WPGA Junior Championship, the WSGA Junior Boys, and the Lake Arrowhead Invitational, win all three and get about 900 points. Rob Hernandez can play in about 10 junior tour events that Gary D'Amato wouldn't play in because he's winning everything else. I'm trying to avoid you. And I could score 50 points in each one for winning those. And get close to you, but never see you. So those are the kinds of things that we try to factor out. We also try to factor out, you know, the junior golf scoreboard is great, Gary, but it's so heavily weighted towards the Hurricane Tour, the AJGA, and the other regional tours, the Mid-America Junior Golf Tour. And as you know, a lot of that comes with a pretty hefty price tag. Golf tournaments at any level are not cheap. And so, as I said in my introductory column, you know, we kind of look at those as that junior golf scoreboard is, you know, that ranking is the best ranking money can buy, because you get a lot of kids who just don't have the resources to go, you know, pick up and travel to Florida for 2 weeks to play during the middle of the school year, whereas other people might. Neither one is bad. There's a lot of ways to get the attention of coaches. And as we mentioned, Steve Bailey, you know, managed to find, you know, a kid in Spring Valley, Wisconsin, a kid in Kearney, Michigan. And, you know, you start shooting rounds in the 60s and you start, you know, having your name in the major events on a regular basis, you're going to get noticed. So to answer your question, once we educated people on how the rankings work, they've been fairly well received. I think you can make an argument because these kids play so much and play so much head to head as to which tournament's more important than the other. We really do try to take a look and balance, you know, the consistency of with which one kid is beating another kid in their class. We don't really look at, you know, how they're doing against kids in other classes, but we want to see, you know, really what tournaments they're playing and how they're doing head to head. So far it's been well received. One final thing, Gary, about the rankings. Again, another thing that I think is going to be very difficult as we go forward is this concept of online education, virtual schooling. It's a necessity right now during COVID-19. I can't wait to see if it's going to become the norm as we go forward, because right now there are at least two or three kids in the rankings, and I didn't identify them because I don't want the politics of their situation to get in the way of what we ranked. But they may or may not be eligible to play high school golf in Wisconsin because of their virtual schooling. Living in one area, going through a virtual school in another district, I tell you what, it's complicated to be a kid these days, isn't it?
Wow, I wasn't even aware of that, Rob, but that is an interesting problem. And I would urge our listeners to go to wisconsin.gov and read what you've done so far in these rankings, your stories so far, and also maybe you could tease to what's coming up, Rob.
Yeah, on Wednesday, we've got the class of 2023 boys, and then Friday, the class of 2022 girls, and Sunday, the class of 2022 boys, and then we'll close out next week with the senior classes, and there will be another interesting trend that will impact one of those rankings as we get towards the end of the series, and then we'll wrap it up the first weekend in December with kind of a final look back at the class of 2020. Normally, Gary, the reason we do that is because then we have a semester of college golf to kind of gauge, you know, how we did with what we ranked them coming out of high school and going into college. This year, we don't have that. I mean, very few kids from Wisconsin, you know, Sadie Kelly from Pulaski and Miranda Kutlowski of Stoughton, Harrison Ott down at Vanderbilt, Speedy Kent got one tournament round in down at Wofford. There really wasn't much college golf played. So that'll be a little bit different this year, but we do have the benefit. I think the great thing, Gary, as you know, from covering the state and the state open, the presence these kids have now in those tournaments, far different than it was when you really kind of had to get to a certain level in college before you would be able to mix it up with the Mark Bumowskis and the Archie Dadians and the, you know, all those great veteran golfers, Bob Gregorski, Jeff Ratter, you know, that would dominate the state amateur scene.
Yeah, the kids are so much better prepared today. We've talked about this a lot, but they get to a state am and they're not intimidated by either the golf course, by the length of the golf course, or by the competition. Obviously, playing four rounds at that level is pretty hard for an 18, 17, 18-year-old young man or woman, but they're holding their own, and we've seen some really, really good results from young people in these big tournaments.
Talking.golf, sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. They're the school that offers a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech, led by Scott Kennedy. He's a PGA professional. He's also the coach of the Chargers men's and women's golf team in the NJCAA. You can learn more about the golf course management program at Southwest Tech at swtc.edu/golf. Gary, a couple of things, kind of breaking news today, but not really anything that unexpected. The PGA Tour champions released their schedule for 2021, and we have firm dates, June 11th through the 13th for the AmFam Championship. We had hoped to be able to see what 2 weeks earlier looked like this year. It got canceled by the pandemic. I'm looking forward to it. Jerry Kelly's title defense, kind of like Tiger Woods' Masters title defense, deferred until 2021.
Yeah, Jerry gets to be the king of the hill for two whole years, basically. Yeah, that's going to be great. When does the the Boise State tournament, is that the week before?
It's the week after. So it's we'll get done with the AmFam championship on the I believe it's the 13th, and then Friday, Saturday, the week after that, with in theory the course still in tournament condition, the boys will play a practice round on Thursday, and then the competition Friday, Saturday. And again, another tournament that got wiped out in 2020. So I can't wait to see how that's going to go. And then you mentioned Jerry Kelly. The week after, or 2 weeks after the AmFam Championship, the next event on the PGA Tour Champion schedule is the Bridgestone Senior Players Championship, with Jerry won this year. So he'll actually be a one-year defending champion in that event. So a busy month for Jerry Kelly, a very busy month for University Ridge. I hope we get the weather, and I hope we get at least an environment where we can play the tournaments, and especially as it relates to, well, both tournaments at U Ridge, they're both heavily attended events by spectators. And so I would look forward to that.
Well, it looks like we've got some vaccines on the horizon. So let's cross our fingers that that the vaccines are very effective, and that people, line up to get them. And that, a few months down the road here, we're going to be at least back to semi-normal.
Speaking of the AmFam Championship and tournament host Steve Stricker, it was announced last week that he'll be competing again in the, what do we call this now? The QBE Shootout. It used to be the Shark Shootout, still hosted by Greg Norman. And he is going to be paired with Daniel Berger, probably one of the guys that, could be borderline captain's pick material for the Ryder Cup. That's an interesting pairing, but good to see Steve Stricker, who's won the event with two different people. Jerry Kelly 1 year, and I believe it was Sean O'Hare another year in that event.
Yeah. I'm not aware that they have a history or a relationship or are close friends. I'm not sure how that came about. We'll have to look into that and find out how they became partners.
Yeah, because Sean O'Hare is still in the field, and so I found that interesting as well. So, but neat to see Steve Stricker. I'm sure he's busy hunting this week, but he'll be back in the on the golf course in the QBE Shootout. Dates for that are December 9th through the 13th at Tiburon Golf Club at down in Florida. Speaking of Florida, Steve's daughter, Bobby Stricker, playing this week in the, they call it the Women's Sunshine State Amateur down at Las Colinas Golf Course at Michigan Golf and Resort. And Bobby Stricker today opens with a 75. And I had her, she is, they got her 18th, but technically I guess they don't have the tees. So it'd be a T11. And only three shots off the pace going into tomorrow's round. It's a 3-day tournament, so a chance for Bobby Stricker to tee it up here with the Badger season kind of on a hiatus. Gary, we're kind of like getting to the point where we don't have a ton of golf to talk about. But as you look forward to things that you're working on, what can readers look at coming out of you here on Wisconsin.golf in the next week or so?
Well, I'm writing a column for Thursday for Thanksgiving. Kind of, I've got some ideas running around my head here. We'll see how that comes out. And then I'm meeting with a guy named Phil Paletti, who runs a Caddy and Leadership Academy. And Phil is just bullish on caddies and getting caddy programs going. He's got a number of them going at courses around the state, and he wants to expand this Caddy and Leadership Academy nationwide. I think he's in Roanoke, Virginia, at a course there, but he wants to go expanding to Dallas and Houston this year. So we'll have a story on what that's all about. Caddies at one point were the absolute backbone of the game, and still very, very important to the game, especially when you look at the Evan Scholars Fund and young men and women getting a chance to go to college tuition free.
Absolutely. Another story that did quite well on our site here over the last week, Dennis McCann reached out to Kyle and Jeff Hain, who are engineering Pioneer Point, which is taking over the footprint of the old Tumbledown Trails golf course on the west side of Madison, and creating a 13-hole par 3 course, hoping to open in the calendar year 2021. As the story said, anything but your typical wedge and putter layout. I believe one hole that was 280. And again, we're seeing some great creativity in the what we used to call short courses, not so short anymore. Short from the standpoint, Gary, that they're not 18 holes, but 13 holes. I like the concept, and in and among some new houses out there in the west side of Madison.
Yeah, we've got the new sandbox at Sand Valley. We've got another short course going up at Trapper's Turn. There's a couple other really good ones that have already opened around the state, and now we've got the one here at the old Tumbledown Trails. So I think it's great for golf. It's great for families. Get parents out there with your young kids and just have fun.
So we've talked about a lot this year about trends in courses, but one final thing that I wanted to touch on is that they have a new GM at the Inn at Central World that you wrote about last week, Gary, and it looks like work continuing on the new luxury hotel that will be attached to Central World Golf Course, something we're seeing a lot of in the upscale courses around the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, if Century World was missing one thing, that was it, lodging. You know, for people on overnight golf trips or people who had to drive far to play Century World and needed a place to stay, they had to stay at other hotels and motels around Century World and go off campus. And now you'll be able to stay right on the campus of Century Insurance, where Century World is located. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful little boutique hotel with 60-some rooms, a lot of amenities right on the 18th hole. And that should really capture some overnight guests, I think, and elevate Century World even higher than it already is.
And they've already got a wonderful, clubhouse pro shop with, a lot of dining amenities, both, inside and then during the summertime outside of the patio, overlooking both the driving range and some of the starting and finishing holes. So excited to see what comes of that over there at Century World. Well, Gary, I hope you get some golf in here over the Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll look forward to hearing whether shorts can come out yet in December when we get together next week. And I want this. I'm guessing that hasn't happened yet in your annals either, has it?
No, that hasn't happened. Shorts once in February, playing golf late February a few years ago. But never December or January. So there's always goals to shoot for, Rob.
Absolutely. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. We appreciate you listening to Talking.Golf, which has been sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. Scott also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to their website, swtc.edu/golf. We'll talk golf again next week.